Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
Thank you, Jesus. So turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and Ephesians chapter 6. And these two passages of Scripture are the final chapters in each of their respective books. And these are what Paul says his final words. So Paul finishes writing to the Corinthians and lands on 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And God spoke to me very clearly about this. And it's the title of the message is Take Your Stand. I would say a subtitle would be the job description of C3 Toronto. Or a subtitle could be the job description of your personal calling. The job description of your personal calling. That you are created for a reason. And that if we don't talk about it, we can sometimes find ourselves living or being subject to circumstances that take you away from why you were created. And so I pray that this message snaps us back. It's kind of like a temperature message. It brings us to some central thoughts that help us know what's up and what's not. And so say stand and let's read it. So 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 13 and 14 says, "Be on guard and stand." Somebody say stand. "Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous, be strong," not try to be, not grow up to be, it just says be it. "Be courageous, be strong," and Rosemary, stand up and show everybody the back of your t-shirt. The last part of this verse is do everything in love. Do everything. I was writing this message at the same time that the creative team were creating those shirts and we didn't talk. How crazy is that? All right, little culture building here right now for everybody listening on podcast, like a vocal church. If you didn't hear any amens on the podcast, that's because there was no amens in the room. All right, so we need to kind of bounce back and forth here, and I'm looking for someone to give some feedback, because when you say amen, it's saying like, hey, I'm into this, I agree, and you're onboarding a little bit more of the message. God's trying to speak. He needs you to respond. Amen. All right, we're good. So, be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous and be strong and do everything in love. And then as we step into this next season, we're going to be talking a little bit about vision. We're going into vision builders. We're going to be talking about that. But I've found that there are different moments in life where the enemy, the devil, the liar, wants to try and derail us, wants to try and derail you. And he does it by many different ways, many different strategies. He does it by getting you distracted. So it could be, you might be very, very busy doing a lot of good things, but if he can get you busy doing things that don't matter for eternity, somebody say eternity. The biggest thing you need to take a stand for is eternity. Eternity is not an option for everybody's destiny. It is part of your calling. Your calling, why you were created on this planet, was to make a difference for eternity. When you think about eternity, it starts to help us prioritize. It starts to help us manage our decisions. It starts to help us think about what's meant to be up and what's not meant to be up. Because if the enemy can get us focused on things that are just only existing for this life and don't make a difference for the next life, then he kind of wins in a way. And he comes in John 10:10 says this, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and Jesus comes to bring life and bring it to its fullness. And there might be people in this room that feel like the ground's taken right from out under their feet. As in, sometimes the intimidation and the accusatory nature of the devil can pester you to a point where you're no longer standing. Where the strength out of your legs, the gumption out of your vision, the fight in your spirit is lost. And we can look at things that are just so close and our vision can become so short that we're paying so much attention to something that doesn't matter. Has anyone ever seen someone fighting for something that really doesn't matter? I was just saying earlier that I was in Subway the other day, and you know, choosing the right condiment for your sandwich, I mean, that's a dilemma for sure. But this guy, and I felt sorry for the lady behind the counter, because he wanted some specific mayonnaise or whatever, and she put the wrong one on his sandwich. But the guy lost his mind. And it got awkward. The air was like tense. It was like spiritual warfare in Subway over the mayonnaise. And I'm like, it's so awesome that you've got a fighting spirit, man. It's so awesome that you're passionate. But what the heck are you getting passionate about? Like, there was this YouTube video going around of this girl that went to Congress. She went to a courtroom and clearly had done research and developed up all this stuff and, like, you know, and got really passionate. And then, you know, you're kind of watching this thing, and then when she presents the subject of what she's talking about, it's like, oh my goodness, like, you're fighting for something. You've taken the effort to go and, you know, try and shift a decree. Like, I want to see laws change. And then, cool, okay, this, you know, she's got something. She's going for it. You know what it was about? It was about the fact that the McRib sandwich at McDonald's was no longer in circulation around Southern California because it was an optional sandwich and the all-day breakfast had taken its spot. Somebody say fight. Stand for something that matters. Eternity matters. And a big trick that the devil will do, the biggest lie that the devil has tried to achieve or tries to achieve in our world is the lie that he doesn't exist. And Jesus says it like this. He says, I liken this generation to children playing in a marketplace. That means like kids kicking a soccer ball with transactions happening above their heads, but they have no idea what's going on. And it would be a sad day when the church act like a bunch of kids playing around with church ideas, playing around with church programs, but aren't aware that there is an eternal battle happening above our heads and people's lives for eternity are weighing in the balance. C3 Toronto exists to connect people to God, and we need to snap back into that focus and make sure that that is number one. Somebody say stand. We got to stand for something that matters. So number one is, it says, be on guard and stand firm in the faith. Be on guard and stand firm on the faith. Be on guard means to be awake. The person is sleeping next to you right now, give you permission to punch them. No, awake. Many Christians are awake to what they should be sleeping to, and are sleeping to what they should be awake to. What do I mean by that? Again, it's priorities, it's focus. We can be so alive to things, be so busy in our world on things that if Jesus were alive, they would be the lowest thing on his priority list. I mean, not if Jesus was alive. If Jesus was what Jesus is alive. Okay, glad we cleared that one up. No, but if Jesus was in this room right now and was saying, listen, this is what I want you to live for, I would be cautious if the thing that mattered most to me, and it's very easy to see what matters most to you, just look at how much time in your, look at your calendar in your bank account. How much time do you allocate to it, and how much money do you allocate to it? That will show you where your priorities lie. So does your calendar time and does your bank account resource, does it reflect the priorities of God or not? Are we awake to what Jesus was awake to? Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane is frustrated with his disciples. Jesus is sweating blood praying. He's awake to something called eternity, and he's about to die on a cross for all of humans from the past, the present, and the future, for all of eternity. And he says, be watch, be awake, stay awake. And pray with me. He says it three times and he gets frustrated. The disciples end up just giving into their carnal feelings, into their flesh. And it's a representation of how people can fall asleep in their own human needs. I get it that you're tired, but there is something that is subject to your fatigue and it's eternity. And I just want you to stay awake with me. And Jesus is his cry from the cross where he says, Christians, can you stay awake with me? Can you stay awake and not lose focus off what is up and what is down? Not lose focus off what matters most. Stay awake. Stay alive. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, it talks about standing. And it's this battle. It's this battle cry. It's this fight. It says, finally, the final words. Finally, you've got to pay attention. These last words. Finally. Okay, so what does he say? Be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against the person sitting next to me in church. For our struggle is not against the church down the street. For our struggle is not against that post that I saw on Instagram that got me a little riled up. That struggle is not against my boss, who I find really difficult to work for. Our struggle is not... What is our struggle against? Because if the devil can get us fighting with each other, then he takes the fight away from himself. And he's dancing on the top of the church's disunity, killing people's lives, when we ought to be unified and know who our enemy is. Turn to the person next to you and say, know your enemy. Say, know your enemy. And then turn back to that person and say, I'm going to stop fighting you. I'm looking for the married couples. They're just sitting there. Amen. Okay, I'll stop fighting you, honey. But just one more thing. So our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against Jesus. It's trying to clarify it here, but against rulers. The devil is not totally weak. He's ruling against rulers, against authorities. The devil has some authority. Only if we give it to him. Against powers. The devil has some power. Only if we let him have it. The way we let the devil have power is forgetting the power that we have. Against powers of this dark world. Against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Transactions in the marketplace. Therefore, put on the full armor of God. And I'm going to be talking about that all in tonight. I'm going to be talking about the six pieces of armor and how you wage war with those six, how you navigate life. If you want to navigate life and know what you're fighting with, you need to be at all in tonight. Little shameless plug. All right. I'm going to be going into those, the symbolism of them and what that means. So that when, somebody say when. When trouble comes, when the day of evil comes, when, not if it comes, when it comes. Are you going through a tough time? Welcome to the party. You may be able to stand your ground and then after have done everything to stand. C3 Toronto is making a stand against the enemy. That's who we're making a stand against. The Bible says, is thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. The problem is we're trying to secure the heavenly gates because we think the devil's out to get us. You're meant to be the one storming the gates of hell. The kingdom of Ephesus suffers violence, and it's the people of C3 Toronto that are going to take that baby by force. You are a person who is called to live for eternity. This may be your first day in church, and I'm telling you, the devil's real. Scary stuff. Whatever. But when you understand the magnitude of what's going on in eternity, all of a sudden, the battle that you thought had significance, the power is gone from it. So it could possibly be the best message you've ever heard. Standing firm, when you target your calling, you become the target. When the day of evil comes, when you start to zone into why you were created and you stop playing in the marketplace, playing in the world like a kid, and you start to engage in taking ground that you know that you're here for but a breath, that you know that your life, 80 to 100 years on this planet, why does it count? Why does it? What does it mean? What does it stand for? Why are you making money? Why are you mothering? Why are you fathering? Why are you raising up people around you? What are you focused on? What did you talk about, complain about all last week? Your complaint will reveal what you actually feel called to. What you see as a problem will reveal what you see as purpose. And we complain about these menial things because we forget the weight of eternity. We forget that this complaint, this thing that we're nagging about, this thing, this Subway sandwich, does not matter. You're like, right. There is forces that are running rampant under our watch. And God is saying, I got a job description for you, C3 Toronto. I need you to be on guard. I need you to be awake. I need you to stand up. And I need you to stand firm in the faith. Sometimes the best way to take ground is actually to just stand. It's not even advancing. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that story in Daniel where the music of the world played and they were asked to bow down. And they didn't bow down, but they didn't run, but they didn't do anything. All they did was stand. And when the devil's trying to play his sound of distraction in your life, when he's trying to play, when his voice is coming to your world to try and get you distracted, running hard after things, standing for things that are really on the B side of the track, not the A side of the track, then all you need to do is stand. Stand for the gospel. Stand for Jesus. Stand for eternity. Stand for the thing that Jesus stood for the lives and souls of human beings. And when the music plays and tells you to bow down to the man and work and make a good retirement plan, you're like, heck no, I'm going to empty my savings account into the funds of God and I'm going to actually start to make a stand. When the world plays its music and says you shouldn't do it that way, the kingdom looks crazy, the kingdom looks foolish, you're like, so be it. I'm going to make a stand for Jesus, and if no one else agrees for it, it doesn't matter. He stood for me, so I'm going to stand for him. Amen. Somebody give God some praise. Say stand. So number two is be courageous and be strong. Being courageous means bravery. This church cannot be intimidated to the point where we stop taking risks. We need to keep taking risks. You need to take risks. Living your calling in life is a worthy risk to take, and it will require risk. When we started this church, we moved over here with like just a handful of people, and people would tell us that we're being silly, that we're being stupid, that it looks crazy. And I don't want to sanitize the vision to a point where we eliminate risk. And if you know you're calling in God and you know that you're called by God to live for something that's courageous, take it, run it, and don't sanitize your calling to a place that eliminates risk. Be brave. Stand up strong. Run hard. You got to keep fighting. David only slipped up with Bathsheba when he stopped going to war. So stand up again. This is the cry. I'm standing up here as the lead pastor of this church saying we're going to take more ground this year, and we're going to do it not because I do it, not because Jerry Durasami does it, but because all of us together say I'm going to take up my calling, I'm going to take up my position, I'm going to take up my fight, I'm going to take up my stand, and I'm going to live for the kingdom. I'm going to live for God. I'm not going to be shaken. I'm not going to be moved. I know it's going to take risk. I know it's going to be unsafe, but I get it. I buy into it, and I know that I'm not trying to live for comfortability. The sound that Nebuchadnezzar played to get everybody to bow down to, those same sound waves come into the church. They sound like this. They sound like, oh, the church should, you know, like it's about, you got to live your life. We're looking for safety. We're looking for balance. You know, God, you need to be more balanced in life. When you're not balanced, go to a secluded place and become balanced. You know, and like if all of your prayers are answered, then life would become a little easier and a little more comfortable. I ask myself the question, if Jesus answered all my prayers, would by default he be answering his own? Or would he just be answering my carnality? Why doesn't Jesus answer my prayers? Because you're praying selfish prayers. And he knows if he answers it, you're going to move further away from your calling, not closer. So he's just waiting until you wake up. It's not about balance. It's not about comfortability. Those aren't descriptive words of the kingdom for me. When I read the Bible, it doesn't celebrate safety. It celebrates risk. It's not about balance. It's about intensity. It's not about comfortability. It's about the pressing. Paul says, I press on to the prize. I strike a blow to my body to run this race like an athlete, disciplined. That doesn't sound like comfortable. When did we ever subscribe to a message that God didn't want us subscribing to? You will get your rest, but when you go to heaven. It's not convenient, it's inconvenient. God will twist your arm and cause you to give when you don't want to, when you want to withhold. You could think this whole message right now is inconvenient because you were just about to snap into the place where things got easier. And then Pastor Sam stands up on stage and says, can I disrupt that whole idea? And then you're like, why did I come to church today? And you're like, look, gotta go. Let God disrupt your world. Why do you want to live this life 80 to 100 years totally comfortable? And then go to heaven and go, whoops, I could have made a better impact. No one. You don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. We're just reminded what it's all about again. And then all of a sudden, the thing that we used to complain about by the water cooler at lunch break at work now is something we're not complaining about anymore. Because we got a better perspective shift that eternity is in the balance. I'm taking your silence as an amen. It's not about complacency. It's about frustration. It's about tension. It's not about warm. It's about hot and cold. And we want to be hot. You don't want to live a warm, cuddly life. Jesus says, I'll vomit that out of my mouth. He said that in Revelation. You want to live a hot life. You don't want to get to the place where you just cool down a little bit. I'm getting a little too hot, so I'm going to call it burnout, so I can just cool down a little bit. If you're burning out, chances are you live in quite a risky world. You're living in tension. You're living in frustration. I don't know if I can make it. I don't know if I can do it. Well, that's what half of the biblical heroes that we celebrate, that's the things that they said. It's not about sensibility. It's about foolishness. The Bible says the foolish things. And when people say that you've got a little bit of crazy in you, take it as a compliment. Because I know I look a little bit crazy, but I'm asking you to try and join this party so I don't feel like I'm alone. Being courageous. And when you stand forward and you know, man, I'm starting to make a stand for something, you got that look in your eye, you gaze into the enemy like that. You're not looking at other people in the church. You don't have a sense of crazy against, wow, Christians should be doing more like this. And, you know, it's not about that. It's like, man, the church is alive. The church is going awesome. The church is real. There's so many great expressions of the church all around the planet. And we're all a little bit crazy taking on the devil. And I'm just going to get the keys up. And it says, be courageous, but it says, be strong. And you can't do this in your own human strength. You can't just hear this message, walk out of here and kind of just beat yourself on the chest and go, cool, I got this. No, you don't got this. That your strength comes from Christ alone. In Ephesians 6 there, it says, be strong in the Lord and His mighty power, not yours. Your strength comes and your calling, you'll be able to only walk it out when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Ephesians 3 that we're strengthened on the inside and the inner man. And your ability to risk for God, to be courageous for God, to run hard after God is directly proportionate to your strength in the Holy Spirit. The stronger that you are in your personal time under the anointing of God will give you the most equipping to be able to step out in courage for Him. But if you step out in courage in the name of Jesus without having a relationship with Jesus, you're stepping out in not the good foolish way, in the bad foolish way. The Bible says in Isaiah 40, 31, it says, those who wait on the Lord are renewed in strength. The weakest form of you is your own strength. the most unstable place that you can go about the battle that you live in, this eternal war that you live in, is to try and do it equipping yourself. The me culture, the I culture, is such a strategy from the devil, so that when you try and step out and do something big for God, he can take you out real quick. But when you wait on God, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and you're standing firm in your convictions, and you're alive to eternity, you take on that position in God, you become unstoppable. You become the ultimate threat. And this city needs you to. Our country needs you to. I've been given an honor and a privilege to be somewhat of a voice in today's day. So while I've got a mic in my hand, and while someone's sitting in front of me, I'm going to call you up as best as I can to follow after God, to obey His voice, to live for eternity, to be strong in your faith, and to live a life worthy of your calling. And the last point is to do everything in love. You're not courageous, and you're not strong, and you're not standing firm and making a stand so that you can build a life for yourself. Jesus was alive to something. And because he was awake to the eternal story, he stepped out of heaven onto this world and said, I'm going to stand for something. I'm going to stand for humanity. I'm going to stand with love in mind. And Jesus made his ultimate stand with his arms wide open on a cross. It took courage in my Lord and Savior to bravely face something that was set up to crush him. To just walk down that road. We just took communion thinking about this. For him to just walk down that road, the courage that it would have taken to understand that the humankind, mankind that he was about to die for was the very same people that are about to tear his body in two on a cross. That would have taken courage. Man, what risk. Just makes you fall in love with him. But even Jesus, knowing that he needed to be strong, on the cross said, Father, I commend my spirit. And he exhaled, and his life was in the hands of a power greater. And the whole time that he was enduring this, he had your name and your face. He was doing everything in love. So he kept saying yes. He kept standing in faith. He kept moving forward to the ultimate goal that absolutely terrified him. Because there was a motivation of eternity and love that was far greater than his own willpower, that was far greater than his own ideas, that was far greater than anything else that he thought that he could live on the life to do. And he could do a lot of miracles, but even they were subject to the ultimate call on the cross. And he could do a lot of good and keep feeding 5,000 over and over and over again and do Love Week every week for 52 weeks, but it would still come subject to eternity. And that is why you and I cannot deny why we're here on this planet. That if you're making large amounts of money, eating lunch at First Canadian Place, and walking around in $1,000 suits, there is nothing wrong with that. as long as you know that it is a tool, that your life is a tool that serves love, that serves eternity, that serves what Jesus was doing, establishing lives. And then when you go about your workplace, when you go about engaging clients and strategy with an eternal perspective, then you all of a sudden are separated from all your peers. You become different because you do it the way Jesus did it. You could be a mom or a father raising kids, but you're choosing that you're not just going to do it the way every other mother and father do it, but you've got something in the crosshairs of your vision. It's called eternity. It's called standing for something and raising kids in faith. You could be a student studying, but the thing that's going to separate you from your peers, the things that's going to make you stand out, is this very job description from heaven for you to take a stand in the way that he took a stand, that he took up his cross, and then he begs you to take up yours. That if there was some people that could hear this message, if there was a small percentage of people in this church that would understand the reason why they were created, that would understand the reason why they exist, then there would be something eternal and fervent on the inside of your spirit, and you would no longer complain about the menial things that all peers and everybody else in our city complains about. You would drive through the streets with a different lens. You would drive through the streets with a different perspective. There would be passion in your heart. It's called the Holy Ghost, and it would give you strength and love for humanity, for mankind, to live beyond yourself. I'm going to live my entire life soliciting that people would take up this call, would take up this purpose, would take up this destiny. And there is going to be a lot of things that you're going to have to sacrifice. There's going to be a lot of pain that you're going to have to go through. I'm not telling you or selling some sort of safe, comfortable existence. I'm inspiring you to die. I'm inspiring you to give up your life so that you would find it. I'm inspiring you to stop meddling around in sins and distractions where the devil can get you paralyzed in the purpose of God. I'm inspiring you to be convicted. I'm inspiring you to develop a voice and to take your God-given stand. You're alive now for a reason. You exist in this time for a reason, and God needs it. God needs you. Holy Spirit. I know I'm yelling a lot, but man, I love you. Because there are people in this room that are leaning in. And it's good. Amen. Just bow your head and close your eyes. Jesus, we love you so much. Man, we love you. And if there are people in this room with every head bowed and every eye closed that have not accepted the love that you displayed on the cross to save our lives, then with nobody looking around, I want to ask you that here at the end of the service. I want to ask you if you would like to be included in a prayer that invites Jesus into your heart. If you've never made this decision, it is the greatest and most important decision that you will ever make. You might have questions in your head right now. It might not all make sense, but that doesn't matter. God will reveal answers to you. But if there is something in your heart that knows that you need to receive Jesus, in a moment we're going to pray. And in a moment, I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand in a way to say, Sam, I want to be included in that prayer. There might be people in this room that you've made this decision before, but for any number of reasons, and they don't matter right now, you know that your life isn't where it should be with Jesus. You've gotten distracted, you've walked away, and you want to recommit your life to Him. You want to re-invite Him in your heart. You want to rededicate your life to Him. And you too might want to be included in this prayer. So if that's you here in this room, with nobody looking around, I want you to raise your hand up nice and high so I can see it.